This afternoon, I had an unction. I want to qualify something because, you know, Pastor Elaine, there's one thing I have always hated. I mean, I hate it. I don't hate the people that got off into it, but I'm telling you, I hate it. I hate imbalance. Because if things are not balanced, you're not going to get the full results that God means you to have. And so people that get all off in one thing or, yeah, don't y'all get too far away, but you don't have to stand up through the whole service. But imbalance, what happens is it limits. Yeah, and you might get, you know, whatever, you've got all your ducks in a row, you know, you might get the fat off of that, but there's a whole lot of other ducks on the pond that you need the fat off of that. Let me just put it that way. And so I hate imbalance. And through the years, I have seen, as all of us in ministry have, we've seen a lot of imbalance. You know, people swing all this way, you know, or people swing all that way. And I know that I minister a lot on the cross and a lot on the blood, a lot on the name of Jesus. But you have to remember, number one, I'm an evangelist. With a prophetic flair, I guess, or I don't know what you call me, an exhorter. I don't know what I'm called. I'm just thankful people call. That's all I know. But I want you to know that I don't stop at the cross. I move right on into Pentecost. And I don't stop at Pentecost. I move right on in to being seated. You know, so I just want to make sure that I don't leave a taste in your mouth that because that was how this battle was won. But every battle is not won just like that. But it's because of the cross. We understand that. That's a foundation of our faith. But I just felt like this afternoon that I wanted to qualify that. I just want to qualify that. Don't ever get caught up on just one thing. Because God has so many facets. And, you know, all throughout the Word, there was miracles. Sometimes Jesus just spoke the Word. He just sent the Word and a miracle. Sometimes they would lay hands. You know, we're taught to lay hands on the sick. And some miracles come that way. And miracles come many, many different ways in the Word. And I know that this church knows that. But just in case there was somebody young here, just in case there was somebody that might not know, I want you to know that an imbalance, I don't care what kind of an imbalance it is an abomination to the Lord. That's what the Word says. But a just weight is His delight. And I always want to delight my God. I never want to misrepresent Him in any way. It would hurt my heart if I thought I had misrepresented Him in any way. So I just felt that I wanted to make that clear. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to join me tonight in the book of John, chapter 11. And I'm going to start reading with verse 39. This is a very familiar story to all of us. And, you know, now we were at Mike and Michelle's church not too long after my husband had gotten out of the hospital and been able to walk again. And we did share some, but I knew that in January, God was going to start leading us to kind of move into another level, a different, I just knew. And today was that. And I know it wasn't very polished, but you know, when you've been through what we've been through, it's just like what we went through with, or what you all went through. And, you know, I imagine it would be hard for you to just sit down and just roll it off, you know, all in order, at least the first time or two, because it is so wonderful, the results. But I'm telling you, the walk through was so fierce. It was fierce. I'm telling you, there. I don't have a word yet to describe what we went through. Of course, my husband slept through it. I mean, you know, he's thinking, well, sweetheart, I'm all right. I'm thinking, well, yeah, you slept through it. You know, I mean, okay, you're all right. You slept through it. But you know, that's how these guys will do us. But I knew that in January, and then sure enough, this morning, Elaine's blaming me for being long-winded. Actually, it was her husband. And I was trying to stay underneath that authority and obey what I knew he wanted me to do. He wanted me to share more of that. And then I'm trying to bring the word. I know he wants me to bring the word. And I mean, I don't know what we did. But I will tell you this. She said it right. I preached from whatever time to whatever time, and I never did get my message preach. So we're just going to go on. But those of you that were here this morning and you heard my husband talk, you might have been able to tell that his speech is not all the way back. He's in speech therapy. And well, actually, he's off for a couple of months because he's done so well. They're thinking that maybe they've got his brain exercised enough that maybe it can pick on up. Because see what happened? That sepsis not only attacked his lungs, attacked his kidneys, his stomach, his all his lower intestine just shut down, his colon, all of it. Everything shut down. All of that part shut down. And even his largest organ, his epidermis, was attacked in such a violent way. But it also attacked his muscular system. And I mean, when we came home from the hospital, you know how men have these big muscles in their arms and in their buttocks and in their legs? You know, men have much bigger muscles than we do. His skin, literally, oh, it broke my heart the first time I saw him, you know, stand up. It broke my heart. His skin on the back of his little legs and everywhere just hung straight down. It was daunting. I mean, I'd never seen such a thing. I had never seen such a thing. His skin just hung. And it was because that sepsis attacked his muscular system. Well, the brain is a muscle. And so, of course, I had to, you know, really stand against what all they said could be and would be and all that. So, you know, I said, oh, no. And so I had been very privately standing steadfast and unmovable against what they said, the medical field said would happen because of that sepsis attacking his muscular system. Well, until I saw him stand up and I saw what they were talking about. I mean, I had to then do warfare over my own mind because, you know, they've been telling me what all is happening to his brain. But you know what? He's sharp as a tack, but it did attack his speech. And so they've had to go in and exercise his brain, and they know how to do that in speech therapy. And they've got his brain exercised to the place and the parts of his brain that needs to be. And they had to exercise his muscles all in his tongue and his cheeks and his neck and all that to be able to get him to speak, to be able to speak. But you could tell that he's still somewhat not all the way back there yet in the natural, but he certainly will be. And then this right hand. Well, I want you to think about this. That hand on that organ, I still just see it slapping those keys. And I shall see it again. I shall see it again. But that right hand and his mouth where he speaks the word and where he would teach the word, see, that's the two places that have been attacked. And I knew that I had stood through all of this, Pastor Brett, that this would be without the smell of smoke. That's what I stood for. That there would be no residue. Because haven't you seen people that have been delivered or whatever, you know, and you can tell they've been through it. But you can look at my husband and not tell, or to me, you can't tell he's been through anything until he opens his mouth or he moves that right hand. And so I said, God, what is this? What is this? I'm not understanding. I need understanding. And the Lord spoke to me, and he told me, it is as it was with Lazarus. Okay. It is as it was with Lazarus. And then the Lord, the more I sought him, he began to speak and give me understanding. He said, I resurrected Lazarus, but it was up to those around him to loose him of those grave clothes. And he said, do not allow this and this to impress you, because it's just grave clothes. And so God showed me that we're not the only ones. That we are not the only ones. That the people of God need to have an understanding. That, you know, you could look at my husband after all of what we've been through. And anybody that's dealt with sepsis, anybody that's dealt with heart attacks, anybody, which we hadn't. We knew nothing about any of this. I mean, you know, one doctor after another, after another, after another, after another, just tell you there was no hope. We expected him to die. Nurses, you know, I mean, we doing all we could do. We wanted him healed. We were calling our proteges in other states. We were researching. We were trying to learn something new. We were calling our old professors at med school. We were doing all we could do, and there was nothing that could be done. Nothing that could be done. And so you hear that, and you hear that, and you hear that. But God had spoken to me and said, the day will come that it will be as if this never happened. And the Lord showed me how that coming as far as we've come would be a real easy place to lose the battle right here. Not that he would die, but that he would be handicapped. And we're not having that. And the Lord showed me that we're not the only ones. And you know, your battle might not have been what our battle was. But you know what? We get to a place, and it's almost like the enemy will back off for a while, but then he wants to grab something and hold you in that and not let that go. Don't let that impress you. It's nothing more or less than grave clothes. And you and I have the power to remove the grave clothes. Now, in St. John chapter 11, verse 39, the Bible says, Jesus said, talking about Lazarus, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. It looks like it's too late. And for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? He said, Martha, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now think about that. If you will believe, I told you, Martha, didn't I tell you, Martha, that if you will believe, you're going to see something that you haven't seen up until now. Now, you've traveled with my ministry. You've supported my ministry. But Martha, 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 if you will believe, you're going to see something. All right. And so, verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I want to tell you, children, if you have prayed according to the will of God, to the word of God, I'm telling you, your prayer is heard. Your prayer has been heard. Your prayer is heard. And he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. I'm telling you, in our battles, when God is going to receive glory, and when God takes us through these things, and the power of the Word, and the power of the Holy Ghost, and the power of His presence, I'm telling you, it's not just us that He has in mind, because God knows who that will hear of this. God knows what little nurse needs to see a miracle. God knows what doctor needs to see whatever the doctor saw. God knows all that we all need. And so it's not just about us. And I will tell you this, because I've asked God, God, let me help people. Let me help people to give them a thought, to give them a little revelation, because of the time that we're in, and this spirit that we're dealing with in the earth today, and the attack upon the people of God. God, if there be anything, I want to help people. And I want you to know that you have to be very careful when God is using you on that level. Because I said it this morning and I want to say it again. People will get to looking at you and they think it is you. And the minute that you leave that there and you allow them to think that it is you, right then, I'm telling you, right then, that anointing is going to lift off of you, and this thing will go down like a one-egg pudding. And so what you have to do is you have to be keen of everything that is going around you. Because when those nurses would begin to run after me, and listen, I'm not exaggerating that. Sister Pastor Elaine, they ran after me. They would see me heading back that way. And no matter what they were doing, they'd start screaming. They said, are you going to pray? Are you going to pray? Now, I just keep on going. I mean, and they would run after me because they said, we want to see what's going to happen this time. We want to see what's going to happen this time. One time I went in there and this woman that had on a whole different uniform came in, or whatever they call that, came in, and she said, I'm from the next building over. And she said, I prayed and I asked God to let me see, let me get in this building at the same time you were going to go pray for your husband, because we have been hearing what happens when you go pray. Well, now that all sounds well and good. No, you can really preach that and all that. But I'm telling you, you better always point to where it came from. You better always let them know that you are nothing more than a vessel in His hand. And you better let them know that you're not the only one praying, that there's an army behind you, and you are only the spokesperson for this hour. You better let them know that you are nobody from nowhere, and that there is nothing extra, that no glory comes to you. All the glory goes to Jesus. All the glory goes to Jesus. And so, in verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't pray, oh God, heal him. Oh God, raise him up. And listen, this was under the old covenant. Jesus had not yet gone to the cross. Under the old covenant. This all that we're so thrilled about, it's under the old covenant. It's happening over there under the old covenant. We got a new and a better covenant. And you know, we're so excited about our new and better covenant. But he spoke to Lazarus and he called him forth. And the Bible says he said, come forth, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. But look here, how did he come forth? Bound. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with the napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, unto those, actually those who had bound him, those church folks, those that were around, he spoke to them and he said, loose him. You loose him. You loose him. And I want you to know, children, when you get to a certain point in your miracle, whatever your miracle is, I don't care if it's your family. I don't care if it's your finances. I don't care if it's your health. If it's your healing. I don't care what it is. I believe that God showed me that we will all come, or most of us will come to a place where we are responsible to remove grave clothes. Now, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? How do we remove the grave clothes? Well, join me in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. We all know it. We got to learn how to move in authority, but we've got to know what authority do we have. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus said, behold, or look at this, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, no thing shall by any means hurt you. We have been given, and that first word power translates authority. So here's what we've been given. We've been given authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power, all of the power of the enemy. Demons, devils, demon spirits, we evil spirits, we have been given authority. We have authority. Now join me in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And again, there's no way that I can tell you every way that we remove grave clothes. But I just know that we must tune in to the Word of God and go all the way with with what we're believing God for. Because here's what I found in the body of Christ, that many times we get this far into our miracle, but we don't go all the way through. And it looks like, listen to me, children, it looks like that God's not God enough to take us all the way through to total victory, when it has nothing to do with that. We are the ones in this earth now with authority, because we live in a fallen world, but Jesus came, and that's all part of Calvary, and he has given us authority over the prince of this world, who, oh, by the way, his name is Satan. He is the prince of the power of the air, and he has a certain amount of authority in the earth, but we have authority over him. And so we have to learn how to move in authority. Now, here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, the Bible says, Jesus said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto them in heaven and in earth. That word is authority. All, you can say it like this, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All authority. Now, we can go over into Ephesians, which I'm not going to do because my name's on the line here about being a long-winded preacher. But we can go over into Ephesians and see how that Jesus is the head and we are his body. And so, therefore, have you ever seen a body that was just separated from the head? I mean, if you have, that's a dead body. That's not normal. That's not right. You don't see the head doing one thing and the body doing something else. That is called a chicken with its head cut off and the head laying over there helpless and the body flopping around. And that's about what we would look like. But Jesus said here, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And over in Ephesians, Brother Paul taught us that he has transferred that authority into his body. And so in the earth now, because Jesus has ascended unto the magistrate on high, and he is seated at the right hand. Oh, by the way, that is the hand of authority, the right hand. He is seated at the right hand of the magistrate on high. And hey, by the way, we are seated together with him in heavenly places, and all things are under our feet. In other words, we have authority over all things. And so how are we going to deal with these grave clothes? One of the ways is we are going to learn, what do we have authority over? And we have to build it in our spirit and build it in our spirit and build it in our spirit and build it in our spirit. You know, Brother Lester Summerall used to teach us like this back way back in the day when, you know, he still came to home meetings and such as that. He'd say, well, children, let me tell you, if it's bad, it's a devil. And if it's good, it's God. And, you know, I just kind of picked that up. And I've just kind of thought, just kind of left it at that all these years, because people are always trying to figure out, well, what's this? What's that? Well, if it's bad, it's the devil. And if it's good, it's God. And so that's how I look at it. And because the thief cometh not but for one reason, and that is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. You know, my husband's brother, in the midst of all this, he would say, I want to go back and see my brother. And I'd say, no. No, Jim, I know you might not understand this, but no. The Lord told me that nobody goes back there. Nobody. And I didn't go into all the detail. I knew he wouldn't understand it, and he didn't understand it. You know, and he'd say, but that's my brother. You know, that's my brother. And I was just asking God, God, give me a word to stop this demon. And one time it just came up out of my spirit. I said, it's your brother. But I'm telling you, laying back there in that bed is my life. He shut up. It was my life. You know what? It may be your brother. It may be your daddy. My children, it was their daddy. And oh, they love their daddy. My children love their daddy. But my children understood. I mean, I didn't have any problem like that. Because my children understood. They trust me in the spirit. But you know what? I never forgot. That's my life. And I have authority over my life. I have authority over, that's my body. That's my body. And I have authority over my body. The Bible says that's my body. Well, Sister Sandy, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, that's my husband and that's my body. Now, devil, get off of my body. You may have him down, but listen, you got me to deal with. Get off of my body in the name of Jesus. How did I know that? From staying in the Word, from reading the Word, from studying the Word. And God will just give you little nuggets like that when you are exercising authority. So I still say that. Get off of my body. Get off of my body. You get off. That's my right hand. That is my right hand. Get off of my right hand in the name of Jesus. But you know what? I hadn't said a word to any of my children. I have not uncovered that at all. I knew the grave clothes that was on that right hand. But today, God gave us a word. Pastor Jerry said, God spoke to me and he said, you're going to play that organ again, and you're going to play it right here in this church. See, I was waiting. I mean, I knew and I was believing, but I was waiting for a rhema word. I was waiting. I didn't have to call up here and say, oh, Brother Jerry, pray for his hand. God, oh, Brother Jerry, please pray. Please pray. I need some help here. I need, and I do. I'm not going to lie. I need some help with some people that will help me get these grave clothes off. I need some help. And I will take all the help I'll get. But if I don't get any help, they're coming off anyway. Why? Because I understand authority. And I believe that understanding authority is one of the most important things in this hour. I believe the Lord has shown me one of the most important things we must learn and develop in our walk with God as we move about taking off grave clothes. Because listen, we were resurrected with Him. We already are resurrected. We already are resurrected. But what we've got to do is take off the grave clothes. Take off those grave clothes. And what are we going to do? All power, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. In other words, I'm going to take heaven's authority and I'm going to exercise it in the earth. It has been given unto me because the Lord Jesus is the head. I am the body and I have authority to remove grave clothes. They're coming off. I'm telling you, they're coming off. They are coming off in the name of Jesus. Now, I know many of you have never heard my husband minister the word, but he has the most unique ideas of how to teach. He's very different, but he has revelation. And I'm telling you, than the enemy. And you know what? My heart wanted to hurt today when I heard him say, Pastor Jerry, I don't want people to see me this way. That's why I don't go out. The enemy wanted me to give that attention. And I said, oh, no, no, no. Grave cloth, you're coming off. You're coming off. You're coming off. You are coming off in the name of Jesus. Because I'm telling you, here's what the grave clothes are for. To keep you bound from what you're called to do. To keep you bound where you will not be releasing and setting any other captive free. Just to keep just a little grave cloth on you. Just a little reminder of death. I won't have it. How about you? I won't tolerate it. How about you? I don't want anything dead. I don't like dead things. Never have liked dead things. I don't even like a plant to die. I do not even like a plant to die. A plant act like it's going to die on me, I'll throw it away. I don't want to look at it dead. I'll get rid of it. I'll call one of my children and say, come get this thing. It's acting like it's going to die and I don't want anything dead on my deck. Come get this. Kimberly, come get this dead. This plant is trying to cut up on me and die. I don't like anything dead. I don't. I just don't like anything dead. Except my flesh. I love dead flesh. I love dead flesh. I love dead flesh. Jesus said, now you loose him. You loose him. I resurrected him. Now you loose him. You're responsible to loose him. Pastor, say, come back. You loose him. You loose him. And Mark, while my precious pastor is coming, and the music, the praise team, the worship team. I love Jesus. Oh, I love his name. I love his name. I love his name. Look here. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Look here. He said, now there's signs. There's going to be something that you can see. And that sign should point you in a direction. And you see, that's what was going on at that hospital. They were seeing signs. There were signs and there were wonders that were happening. And they maybe hadn't seen a sign or a wonder. But Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Well, how about you? I'm a believer. How about you? Where's Inga? Oh, they're coming, I guess. All the singers are coming. Okay, I'm just making sure they're all getting. I just want to hear her go, woo, 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 just one more time. I can't help it. I can't help it. I just want to hear it one more time. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Jesus said, in my name, or in my authority, in my name, in the name of Jesus, in my name shall they cast out devils, demons, all levels of the demonic. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, that one passage of Scripture tells us so much about authority. Authority. But it's in His name. In my name. In the authority of the name of Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, just like the word was this morning, and I don't think I got it, made it clear to the last service. But the first service, I think they got it. What do we believe? What do we believe? And then I want to go a little further and I want to say, who do we believe? Who do we believe? And then I want to go to another level and say, what? What? Who? And then I want to say, when are we going to believe? When are? Well, I hear my Bible preaching to me. Today is the day of salvation. Right now, there will never be a better day than right now for you and me. Stand to your feet. For you and me to begin to release our faith and move in the authority of the name of Jesus, the authority of the Word of God, the authority of the blood of Jesus, the authority of the cross, the authority of Pentecost. Even Pentecost carries an authority. Even Pentecost. When are we going to believe? Well, first of all, we got to know, what do we believe? What do we believe? Well, I tell you, I've made my mind up. I made it up many, many years ago. And I'm sure, oh my goodness, I have probably made more mistakes than I even am aware of. But I tell you, years ago, sweet thing, I made my mind up. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. Now, I wasn't then where I am now, and I'm not now where I will be. But I will tell you this. I have contended for the faith. And I know you all have contended for the faith. But let me tell you what's in my spirit right now. Every time when I pray, here's what I say. Father, I am contending for the faith of Abraham. I am contending for the faith of Esther. I am contending, and whoever, you know, however God will take me, I'm contending for the faith of Elijah. I'm contending for the faith of David. I'm contending for the faith of Jesus. I'm contending for the faith that was set before me. I'm contending for it. I mean, I'm earnestly contending for it. And I want to challenge you to do the same.